It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important story.
Socialization of transportation, education, energy, housing, and water. What it means is that government controls it through rules and regulations.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
Under this guise of bipartisanship and nonpartisanship, it's actually tapped down the truth.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
On an equal field in the battle of ideas, mistruths or misconceptions, and it is getting us into a world of hurt.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed, let's have a conversation, and welcome to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Thank you so much for joining us. You're each treasured, you're valued, you have purpose. Today, strive for excellence, live with intention, and take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. And happy 2022 to this great team that I get to work with. That's producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, Charlie, Jen, and all the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. 2022 is here, Steve, and it's going to be a historic year.
What I just see a little takeoff on. Be careful how you say 2022. Because it tends to make it sound like it's a repeat of 2020.
Oh, 2022. I got it. Okay, well, hadn't thought of that. I'm excited to have in studio with me Laura Hyatt, and she is the communications director for the Greg Lopez gubernatorial campaign. It's great to have you here. We thought we were going to have Greg here. We're going to have him calling in at the bottom of the hour because he's got a little of that stuff that's going around.
That's right. Good morning. I'm really excited to be here, Kim.
And a lot to do here in 2022. It's great to have you here. So we'll talk with Greg at the bottom of the hour. Check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. And you can email me at Kim@KimMunson.com as well. And thank you to all of you who contribute. Producer Steve, my New Year's resolution, you can well imagine, is to officially say thank you to each and every person that has supported us. It's always my intention. And then we work at a pretty tremendous pace. And that's one of the things that I did not get done. And the other thing is email management. Those are the two things that I am working on, Producer Steve.
Well, you caught me by surprise there. You took the high road. I thought you were going to say clean the garage.
Well, that was on my list of things to do as well. But I'm going to clean up my email list. That email management is my New Year's resolution. But be sure and check out the website. We rolled out two op-eds this last weekend. One is Alan Thomas and his looking back at 2021 and the hope of 2022. And the other is Pam Long, and we're going to have her on for one segment, I think, on Thursday, and then she'll be a featured guest next week. And that is the best and the worst of Colorado politics in 2021. It is a very well-researched piece. And in fact, Zach put together a table of contents on that so that you can look at it quickly. But it is a very well-researched piece. And Laura Hyatt, I know that you're watching these things closely, but it's a really does talk about what happened in Colorado last year.
I actually read it. I think she did a fantastic job, and I agree with her.
On many of these things.
Yeah, it's quite a long list. She mentioned a lot of people that have done really good things and a lot of the blunders that can maybe be rectified a little bit later this year in 2022.
Blunder is a nice word to say that when I'm thinking about tyrannical overreach. That is a blunder.
Yes, understated.
A blunder in a blender, I think. So, but anyway, be sure and check that out. And let's go ahead and jump into some of the other things that we do here. And if you're new to the show, and your New Year's resolution is to try to search for truth and clarity and look at these issues through this lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom, this is the place for you. And remember, socialism ultimately comes down to force. It's not compassionate, and it's never compassionate to take other people's rights, their property, their freedom, or their livelihood via force, whether with a weapon, policy, unpredictable and excessive taxation, fear, coercion, or this latest silent thief, and that is government-induced inflation. Another thing to mention before we get into these devastating fires that happened up in Boulder County is Betty White, actress and comedian, passed on New Year's Eve. And she would have been 100 years old on January 17th. So quite a career. And she was a pioneer in television. Her career spanned 7 decades. She was noted for her vast work in the entertainment industry. I remember the Mary Tyler Moore Show, The Golden Girls. She was born in 1922 in Oak Park, Illinois, and she died December 31st, 2021. And she said this. She said, "Don't try to be young. Just open your mind. Stay interested in stuff. There are so many things I won't live long enough to find out about, but I'm still curious about them." And I think that's probably Laura Hyatt, why she had a life well lived.
Yeah. And I heard an interesting headline that I thought was so wonderful, expressed kind of the sentiment that I think everybody has about Betty White, and that was that 99 years was too soon. Yeah.
Yeah, she was certainly an icon for sure. Let's go ahead and jump into some of, let's talk about these fires that happened. It's unbelievable. We typically have thought about fires in the forest, but a suburban component right here, Boulder, Denver, the metro area. Steve, it is truly remarkable and unbelievable what happened, and it moved so quickly with those winds.
I'm about to say something disparaging on Denver media, because I get a sense they couldn't wait for sunrise on Friday to get a helicopter up there and, you know, peruse. And okay, that's their job, it's the news, but I thought, how quickly do you have to take advantage of other people's misery? But okay, put that aside. The other thing that struck me is my own response to it, thinking that, all right, that's something that happened to those people. But when I sat back and the more information I took in, the more video I took in, said that could have happened anywhere along the Front Range. The ingredients that brought it all about. Now, yes, that area is known for some incredibly high wind.
Right.
And the wind was obviously the biggest culprit in driving the fire. But I thought, just in our neighborhood, since we live fairly close to each other, we have high-tension power lines running just to the west of us.
True.
And had something got started and the winds were right, that could happen right in our neighborhood as well. And I thought, you got to get it out of your head that this is something that it was up the road 20 miles and away from us. It is something that catastrophic can happen anywhere.
Mm-hmm. And we'll find out more about it. I've heard different theories. Laura, have you seen anything definitive on what happened exactly?
I heard it was the down power line.
I heard that as well.
And high winds. I mean, and like Steve said, I mean, that could happen anywhere. It could happen in my neighborhood too. We have the same thing. We have those power lines going, those high powered power lines. Mm-hmm. And I mean, if you can hear the wind at night whistling past our windows. So
yeah, it could. And so we've got to think about, I guess, prevention.
I know it's been extra dry this year.
Yeah, it's super dry. And now, you know what? I have things going on. I think before I make any more comments on that regarding these power lines and all, we probably need to get more information. But I don't spend a lot of time on Facebook, but I was going through Facebook, and a woman who I would say is a good acquaintance, she had a picture of her home, and it was one that was totally destroyed. And it just takes your breath away to think about all the treasures that you have in your home. Mm-hmm. And there really was hardly any time for people to leave. I was talking to Zach, our media guy, and he heard, I think it was somebody he knew or heard a story of a woman who was at work in Boulder and had little puppies back at her home and was not able to get back save them. And that's probably another thing, is just the people's pets that were probably lost in that. I mean, that's pretty heartbreaking, because pets are really a part of the family. So there's grief, significant grief. And we really need to say our prayers and for them. And I know there are a number of different charities that are working hard to help them. And that's really where it's supposed to be, is the charities helping them. So anyway, our prayers go out to everyone that has been devastated by this fire. It's surreal. And we're going to have Karen Levine on tomorrow, Steve. She lives up in that area. And I thought it would be good to have her make some, you know, observations. And, of course, we have this housing shortage as it is. Mm-hmm. And then you have that many homes destroyed. It's going to be difficult, I think, Steve.
That point was made in one of the pieces I was reading this morning in terms of the draw on building supplies. The routine construction that goes on all over the metro area is one thing, but when you have something like that in a small, high density draw or pull on building supplies, it will be felt.
Yes, it will be. So let's come together as a community and support these people, and our prayers certainly, and charities are doing great work. And also on Friday, we're going to have a new group, Dads of Castle Rock. Just a group of dads that have come together, and I was looking at some of the information coming through, and they've been putting together truckloads of supplies to take up into that area, and I so appreciate it. It's the American way, Laura Hyatt.
No, it really is. I think 1,000 homes all at once like that, it's going to be like a new development. You know, like you see going up in any neighborhood. Yeah. And it's going to have to be an effort like that to get these people back into a home.
Back into their home.
Yeah.
Yeah. So prayers for them, for sure. We're going to go to break here in just a moment. Before we do that, though, I do want to go through some other headlines here. But we've got great sponsors looking into 2022, excited with Jen Hewlin joining us as our partnership liaison. It's going to be in a very exciting year. But one of those sponsors that's been with us for both shows for a long time, and that is Hooters Restaurants. And they have 5 locations, and that is Loveland, Westminster, Aurora, Lone Tree, and Colorado Springs. And they're the place to watch all of the sports. I can't believe that the Super Bowl is probably around the corner, isn't it? I haven't been paying attention, Laura.
It's gone right over my head this year.
I know, and I think there were bowl games. Were you watching any of the bowl games? Can you help me out here, Steve? I kind of walked by the TV and I saw some football, but I wasn't really paying attention.
Well, the NFL calamity goes on, and obviously that was on yesterday since it was Sunday, but I have to confess, I haven't really had any appetite to really seek out any of these bowl games.
Okay. Well, if you do, Hooters Restaurants is the place to do that, and they have all kinds of specials. They have happy hour specials and game day specials. So be sure and check out my website, and we have all our sponsors there. And on the Hooters tab, we have all of their specials there. So let's go to break. Laura Hyatt, who's the communications director for the Greg Lopez for Governor 2022 campaign, is in studio. We'll talk with Greg at the bottom of the hour, as well as a new sponsor, Keith Renison, will be talking with us as well. So stay tuned. We'll go through some more headlines.
With the federal government printing money, it looks like inflation is on the horizon. That is why you should lock in a low rate now on your mortgage. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group is here to help. Lauren works with a variety of lenders to assist you in finding the mortgage that is just right for you. Locking in a low rate now will save you thousands of dollars over the life of your loan. Don't procrastinate. Don't wait any longer. Call Lauren today at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there, and you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And Laura Hyatt is in studio with us. She is the communications director for the Greg Lopez governor's campaign for 2022. It's great to have you here.
Thanks. It's so great to be here.
I wanted to mention a couple of headlines, and then you had pulled this thing up from CPR, which I think is interesting. So we'll go through that. But just a couple of things. First of all, Steve, are you glad that you weren't flying this Christmas season? Because who knows where you might be right now.
Are not flying.
And is your luggage in the same country or hemisphere?
Oh, my gosh. I tell you what, this was a headline from the Epic Times. It says, domestic and international flight cancellations pile up entering 2022. What is happening with air travel? Laura, I hear it is typically not very pleasant.
With five kids, no thanks. I don't think we're going to be, until this breaks up a little bit, you know.
I mean, yeah, it's challenging enough as one person or a couple, but kids, oh my gosh. And so I've gone to Europe a few times, and I really have loved that. But I'm looking at it, it's like I may never go there again. I'm so grateful that I got to go, because who knows what is going to happen on this international level. And Steve, what about the cruise ship that had everybody vaccinated? And then they also had COVID cases. Mm-hmm. I mean, can you believe that?
Well, I sent you, I noticed that she put it on our list today, a link regarding the insanity of where we've been in the last 2 years and, you know, is there any end in sight? But these types of illustration, this particular cruise ship, you know, leaving the port, everybody on the crew and all the passengers are all vaccinated, and what happens within a matter of days, all of a sudden, you know, the virus starts creeping up and popping up. It's like, how could this be?
Well, and so my question is a couple of things on this. Are people getting sick, or is this that they're doing this testing and they're having positive cases? I don't know the answer to that, but it seems to me like, so the coronavirus, my understanding is it's a cousin of the common cold. If you started testing the complete population for the common cold, you're going to have tons, I think, of positive cases. Now, we'll talk with real doctors about that at some point, but that just seems to make common sense to me, Steve.
Well, you're testing and you're also over-testing. And that was a point that was made earlier this morning as I was driving in. The guy who developed what is known as the PCR test said this is not what it was intended to do. And they are not using it in the correct fashion that falls in line with the reason or the way that the test was developed. So they're creating a lot of false positives, and they don't seem to care.
And then using that faulty data,
yes,
to push these really tyrannical public policy decisions, Laura.
Well, a couple of things. I mean, so first of all, the line for that test, I know, is about 2 hours long. I pass it every day. We live right next to a hospital. I have a friend who's going in for post-op today or pre-op today, and she had to have a test yesterday. Waited for 2 hours. And second, I thought, well, I mean, maybe this is common knowledge, maybe it isn't, but I thought you could contract and transmit the COVID virus even if you were vaccinated. So when people on these cruise ships are shocked that everybody has COVID, I thought that everybody already knew that. You just wouldn't get as sick.
And that's something that I've heard, is people say you would not get as sick. But I was thinking, well, where's the tests on that? Is that just a narrative? We don't know for sure. The other thing regarding these vaccines is, as they were forcing them, they're talking about the polio vaccine. And I, going back from what I've read, is once kids got the polio vaccine, they didn't get polio. I mean, there may have been some very small percentage, but you didn't get the polio vaccine and then get polio. So you can't have that narrative match up. It just doesn't match up.
No, that's inconsistent.
It is inconsistent. Hey, let's jump over here to what you had sent over to me. And this is from Colorado Public Radio. It says, these new Colorado laws go into effect with the start of 2022. Mm-hmm. And the first one is the Child Sexual Abuse Accountability Act ends the statute of limitations for survivors to sue their abuser and allows them to bring a lawsuit against a school district, youth group, or other institution that should have known they were putting young participants at risk. So,
going back to 1960.
Okay. The new law opens up a window for the next 3 years for survivors to sue over abuse going back to 1960. Okay. Next thing, drivers who owe court fees or miss hearing dates or are no longer at risk of losing their license.
So no big deal.
Yeah. That's here in Colorado. It says, and Colorado's joining a list of states moving away from using the threat of driver's license suspensions to get people to pay fines and attend court hearings. Once again, this seems like this is advantageous for people that may be breaking the law.
Yeah.
It says new limits for cannabis concentrates, younger medical marijuana patients. So
no issues there.
Okay.
No.
Okay, when they, it says the amount of concentrated product people 21 years and older can buy in a single day with their medical card is dropping to 8 grams, the same limit that's already in place for recreational customers. Okay, that's a whole other,
that's a whole can of worms right there.
It is.
That's a show.
It is. It is. And then new consumer protections. It says companies with auto-renewing contracts, think newspaper subscriptions or yard care services, will now have to provide their customers with more information about how their policies work, more warning before they renew, and an easy way to cancel. Well, that kind of seems like an okay idea, I guess. So some new things. There's a whole bunch of other things that the Colorado Public Radio did not put in there.
Yes.
One of them is that Paid Family Leave Act that I think is starting to take effect. So there's certainly all kinds of things to consider on that. Before we move on to some of these other headlines, another one that I think is really important, and this is this whole election integrity question. And the Epoch Times recently reported that a Texas audit finds over 11,000 potential non-citizens are registered to vote. And this is by Darlene McCormick-Sanchez. It says, voting irregularities, including potentially thousands of votes cast by non-citizens and the dead, were reported during the first phase of the Texas Secretary of State's forensic audit of the 2020 general election. But critics deemed it more of a risk-limiting audit at this point. Says the Texas Secretary of State's office released its findings on December 31st, but the issues found are not enough to significantly impact 2020 election results of the four counties involved in the audit, Collin, Dallas, Harris, and Tarrant counties, which account for about 10 million people, or a third of the Texas population. It says, generally speaking, nothing was found on such a large scale that could have altered any election, said Sam Taylor, Assistant Secretary of State for Communications, in an interview with the Epoch Times. Okay, this is seems to be an ongoing conversation going on. There was something going on here, but it wasn't enough to change the election. I'm not quite sure how you can make that decision yet, and so we need to continue to work towards honest and fair elections, Laura Hyatt. That I think that is super important. And seeing these irregularities across the country is cause for us to ask questions. And I'm very uncomfortable with people that say, you can't ask questions about this. I find that that's a very interesting narrative out there, Laura.
I do too. And I've been talking a lot, you know, I mean, I'm working on Greg's campaign and, you know, just talking even with my husband about this. It's really interesting because I think there's a root problem here that nobody's really addressing, and that is that people aren't seeming to be bothered by the fact, or at least they're not focusing on the fact that the rules and the things that are making people very uncomfortable, a lot of these things change during the election year. And so when you move the goalposts on anything during an election year, no matter how the election turns out, the losing party is going to be suspicious and uncomfortable with the results. And I think what our local and state and all the governments that are in charge of the different various elections need to do is make sure that rules, first of all, aren't changed during an election year. I think that's a very serious issue. That with the presidential election would have made a world of difference if governors and other parties weren't allowed to make changes in the rules during the election years.
Well, and I think that's a very important question, is we as Americans should not be comfortable with the changing of the goalpost during an election. Because the first question is, you go back to Rudyard Kipling, his questions, who, what, when, where, why. why were those goalposts changed? One has to ask that question. And the fact that now we see in mainstream media this kind of tapping down, patting people on the head, move along, nothing to see here, moving. Well, wait a minute. If that's the case, that makes me very uncomfortable. It's like, why can't we ask questions? And it seems like as Americans, as people that are seeking truth, asking the question is an important thing. Final comment on that, Laura, before we get over here to Keith Renison, one of our new sponsors.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I think COVID was the motivator for 2020. They wanted to figure out a way to get everybody to the polls to be able to vote who didn't feel comfortable leaving their homes. But I really believe that there need to be rules in place that even if there is a disaster and an emergency, something, that you can't fundamentally change the rules of an election during an election year. Because they're going to have a justification for it, of course. Uh-huh. You know, they're going to figure something out because they know it'll be questioned. But there has to be a rule in place that doesn't allow people to do that right before an election. I mean, in this case, it was a couple weeks before an election in Pennsylvania, and that was just too soon.
Too soon.
Yeah.
And the fact then, though, it seems like everybody should be concerned that 11,000 potential non-citizens voted. This is via a forensic audit down there in Texas. So let's get over here to Keith Renison. He is a new sponsor to the Kim Munson Show. Keith Renison, welcome.
Good morning. How are you?
Doing very well. How about you? Tell us a little bit about what you do exactly, Keith.
Oh, I'm a professional keynote speaker, facilitator, MC. I hold a lot of meetings for associations and corporations and businesses, helping their employees stay on with the company. We've got a lot of problems across the country right now with employee retention, let alone attracting employees. And so I try to help corporations and companies keep those employees once they get them there through what I call my TRIP system, which is TRIP is an acronym that stands for tenacity, resilience, imagination, and purpose.
Well, and it's difficult for many of these companies because they're having to compete with the government giving out free money or competing with the government for these employees to get them to work. How are you helping companies address that, Keith?
Well, as we know, the government's becoming the largest employer, and that's not a good thing. A lot of corporations are starving for employees because they can't find them and they can't hang on to them. And I think that by attracting employees through an assessment where they can learn how the employees would rank in those four character traits really helps the employer know whether they've got the stick-to-itiveness to learn and grow and be resilient and bounce back from all the different kinds of economic conditions we've got in the country, and that employees want to stay with a company once they get there and grow and help the company grow. And I think that that's got to be part of the philosophy and culture the corporations set themselves up for, and they've got to find employees that are willing to support that.
Definitely, and that's your wheelhouse is helping in that particular arena, correct?
Yes, definitely. Yeah, I do a lot of keynotes and meeting facilitation and MC of meetings where I help the audiences understand how this works through my PowerPoint presentation. And it's exciting and it's fun because people get to learn a lot about themselves through the assessment, how you rank, whether you're passive, active, or super active, which tells them whether they're going to be an employee that's really going to be a go-getter or not.
Okay. Well, let's jump over personally. You had something that just happened, which is rather remarkable. Tell us what happened.
Well, I volunteer at a local ski resort and have for 13 years. And I was working 2 weeks ago and had a rather freak accident where in skiers technology or jargon, I caught an edge. And that means that the skis went different directions, and I went down. And I actually broke both ankles.
Oh, my gosh.
And it's left me rather incapacitated. And, in fact, I get to go see an orthopedic surgeon today to find out what the results are going to be and how I move forward. But, yeah, at 74 years old, these are the kinds of things you don't want to be experiencing.
Right.
But, you know, I'm still trying to remain very active and have my tenacity and resilience and bounce back and keep things moving forward. And so I got to walk the walk and talk the talk all of a sudden.
Don't you hate that when you're challenged to have to walk your talk? like that, Keith. I tell you. So, well, I wish you good luck on this. That is truly, I mean, to break one ankle is one thing, but to break two, and of course, doing something that you love. And I welcome you as a new sponsor of the show as well. Keith Renison, thank you so much. And Zach has the link to your website. You're on the banner ad there. People can get more information by going to my website.
Excellent. Thanks so much for having me this morning.
Okay. Good luck and keep us in the loop.
Will do. Bye-bye.
Okay. Thanks. And Laura, before we go to break, another one of our great sponsors is Kirsch Insurance Group. And they're experts in the Medicare arena. And once government gets involved, it becomes clear as mud. And that's why you need somebody like Kirsch Insurance Group to help you navigate through all this Medicare stuff. And apparently there's now there is an open enrollment period for people that have Advantage plans. And to get more information about that, it doesn't cost anything. Kirsch Insurance Group works with a lot of different companies out there. Be sure and check them out at ikirsch.com. That's ikirsch.com. And Laura, you know, it's always great to work with professionals. Yes.
Always. Oh. Better than trying to do it yourself.
That's for sure. So let's go to break. Laura Hyatt, who is the Director of Communications for Greg Lopez's 2022 Governor's campaign, is in studio. And Greg Lopez, who has the sniffles, I guess, is on the line. And when we come back, we'll talk about 2022.
Home ownership and private property rights help you build wealth for you and your family. RE/MAX Alliance award-winning realtor Karen Levine understands this. Supply is super tight right now. This is why you need a seasoned professional with excellent negotiating skills on your side of the table, whether buying or selling an existing home or buying a new build. As a member of the National Association of Realtors Board of Directors, Karen Levine volunteers hours of her time to help you build your American dream. Call her today at 303-877-7516. Again, that's 303-877-7516.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And thank you to all of you who support us. And Patty corrected me. I like this. She said the paid family leave does not take effect this year. And as I was saying that, I'm like, wait a minute. Since the legislature will be setting up specific policy for family. It's the paid family leave, mm-hmm. all those specific details. But it goes into effect in 2023, and that will, let's see, be when employers and employees in Colorado will participate in deductions from their checks. But I find it so interesting that 2023 is after what year? 2022, which is the election.
Right. The gas fees, same thing. They go into they start to really take effect in 2023.
Three.
Yeah.
Let's ask Greg Lopez, who's running for Colorado governor, what he thinks about it. You know, Greg, if they're going to put in policies, I think they need to put them in when they can be held accountable, when people know what's going to happen. But they're sneaking these things through. They're going to really affect people negatively in 2023. But they didn't have the guts to put it into place in 2022 because they know people wouldn't like it, Greg Lopez.
Well, good morning, Kim. You know, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Yes. You know, I do have the sniffles. You know, the coal is still alive and well. It's out there. You know, it is very interesting how all of a sudden government decides it wants to slow down putting rules and policies after the election. And look, you know, everybody recognizes why he's doing it. I mean, and, you know, we might have been born at night, but we weren't born last night. We recognize what he's doing, you know, and so we have to look at, what does that mean for the future for Colorado? And why is the governor and his team not being honest, right, with the people? Why not start telling them exactly what's going to happen? He's not talking about it, and he's not going to talk about it. I am. I'm going to talk about it, you know, and I'm going to let people know what's coming down the pike. You know, but on that same vein, Kim, I am going to give the governor kudos for how he handled the fires because, you know, he did the right thing. I mean, you have to look at this emergency and what happened. You know, a lot of people don't know that as the former director of SBA, I got involved in all these types of disasters. And so when the fire happened, some of my former colleagues from SBA were calling me and saying, hey, Greg, you know, we're probably going to be out there. You know, we need to get your thoughts as to what needs to happen. And so I shared with them, you know, my concerns as to, you know, yeah, we need to mobilize. And I'm glad that you guys are watching this from afar. But right now, what I would tell you is SBA, the disaster assistance programs, are now going to be activated because the president did declare it a national disaster. And so right now, I'm going to tell everybody that's been impacted, you need to make sure that you register with FEMA. That is the one thing you need to do. Don't worry about whether you qualify. Don't worry about the process. You must go register with FEMA. That is the first thing that every homeowner, every business, every nonprofit, everyone in the community that has been impacted by this needs to go register with FEMA. That is going to be the beginning of the rebuilding. You know, and when we talk about this, Kim, is that it's going to take years. It's not, you know, going to happen overnight. And so while a lot of people, and rightfully so, they're concerned about the short-term future of these families, we must also look long-term. How long is it going to take for us to get them back in their homes? You know, we got to clean the debris. We got to talk to the building departments. We got to make sure that building permits don't get caught up in the process of new construction. I would hope that the mayors and their staff would accelerate these building permits and make sure that, you know what, whatever they can do to get these construction up and running. Like Steve said, there's going to be a demand on supplies, whether it's drywall, lumber, you know, roofing materials. But I would hope that the group that's overseeing this and the governor will encourage and get the entire community involved, because now is the time for us, like you were saying earlier, Kim, as a community to come forth and let's prioritize. If we're going to build homes, let's build homes for those that need them most. And it's not the people that are looking to buy the homes, it's the people that lost their homes.
Well, a couple of things, Greg, and you mentioned streamlining building permits. And as you know, I served on city council for 4 years, 2012 to 2016. And that was one of the questions that I had, is it seems that getting building permits became more onerous. But then I did see from time to time different municipalities might pick winners and losers by maybe streamlining building permits for some particular project and not another. And I became extremely uncomfortable with that. And so as we move through this process with those that were devastated by this fire, I totally agree. And what you're saying is reducing government intervention, reducing rules and regulations actually speeds up the process for people to build their homes again. I think that we take those lessons and not just use them for those with the fire. But that's something I'd like to see in your administration, is to go to work to reduce these rules and regulations that are constricting Colorado. What's your thoughts on that, Greg?
I totally agree with you. Look, I keep telling people the most powerful people in government are the bureaucrats, the regulators. They put in rules after rules after rules just to delay the process. And you don't need those. You know, if they would just get out of the way and allow people to be able to fulfill their dreams and build the way it's supposed to, we would have a more robust economy. And yes, you know, regulations are stifling small businesses. They discourage people from opening businesses. They discourage people from even building a deck under their house. I mean, it seems like anything you want to do to your property, government wants you to pay. It's no longer like you truly are a homeowner, because the government wants to make sure that they know exactly what you're doing in your home. And these are the types of things that we need to remove and eliminate. And I am going to look at the regulations, and I'm going to start removing them, because there's no purpose for them. The only purpose that government has in enforcing regulations is they want to put their hand in your pocket. They want to take more of your money. That's it. There's no other reason for it. And so I am going to do that. And like you were saying earlier, Kim, there are some bureaucrats that want to pick winners and losers. You know, some that they put to the top of the list. And that's just wrong. I would hope that Superior, Louisville, and Boulder County would say, look, we're going to put together a special task force. We're going to start looking at how do we make sure that we remove all these regulations to make sure that, you know, these people, when they come in and they say they want to rebuild, that we have all the steps ready to go so that their building permit can be issued in 48 hours. There's really no reason why it can't.
Well, and then again, let's take that once that happens and move that over to everybody else as well, Greg Lopez. Hey, I had several different things as I've been thinking about the issues that are facing Coloradans. Safety in our communities is so important. And Colorado is now number one in the number of carjackings in the United States. That's something that is of tremendous concern to me, Greg Lopez, is the increased crime that is occurring in Colorado, particularly in Denver. I guess the area down near Union Station is one of the top crime areas in Denver. And I find it remarkable that we would spend so much money on economic development, again, government picking winners and losers and using money for that, but putting all that money into Union Station and then letting it become such a high crime area. Whereas people, I was down in Larimer Square over the Christmas holidays, and it was dead. And so what's happening is people do not want to go to areas that are not safe. What's your thoughts on crime?
Well, let me tell you. I mean, clearly what's happened, and it reminds me a lot of what happened in the early 90s when I was mayor and crime started to creep up.
And Marion Parker, right?
No, I'm saying in the metro area. Remember, I think it was in 93, there was a summer of violence. You may or may not remember that, but there was a summer of violence where teens were killing each other over tennis shoes, over jackets.
I do remember
and we
that.
And we got together, you know, the metro mayors got together, Mayor Wellington Webb and myself got together. We created the Metro Mayor's Caucus. We worked with Barry Fay and the concerts facilities to be able to give the kids extra things to do. But regardless, what's happened is that we're allowing crime to exist because we're not willing to hold people accountable. And this all stems from this whole defunding the police and taking their immunity away. All that is wrong. And what you're seeing is the emboldenedness of criminals. Now that they realize, what's the worst thing that can happen to me if I get caught, if I steal the car? I get it's kind of like a speeding ticket. And I'm supposed to show up, you know, whenever the court date says on the ticket. That is wrong. You know, and so community policing and having strong leadership when it comes to enforcement of crime and making sure that people are held accountable, that's what it's all about. And so I look at those elected officials, the mayors, the council members, the chief of police, you know, all those individuals that are responsible for this, they're letting their communities down. They have a fiduciary responsibility and a community responsibility to make it safe. And I'm not going to stand for that. You know, as governor, I'm going to make sure that I call out these agencies and these cities and hold them accountable for it, because we can make our communities safe again if we take the right steps. And right now, I'm so disappointed in some of the leadership. You know, Mayor Hancock is a friend of mine, but I'm really disappointed on how he's leading his community, which is the city and county of Denver. He knows better. He knows better. He just chooses not to do it.
It is remarkable, Greg Lopez, but you're seeing the economic effects, I think, the effects are occurring in the Denver metro area. But then what happens is these different municipalities look to the state and to the federal government to bail them out. And we need to get to a point where communities are responsible for the decisions they make. Individuals are responsible for the decisions they make. That's really the American way, Greg Lopez. Laura, before we go to break, is there something you want to jump in on this at all?
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, you can't be afraid to stand up to a criminal. And, you know, that's something Greg and I talk about a lot. And I think that's something that'll change quite a bit if we get through 2022. Right, Greg?
That's right. You know, and it's going to happen. Look, regardless of where people stand. Nobody wants more crime. Nobody wants to see their property taken from them. And more importantly, they want their children to grow up in a community where they feel safe. And that's not happening right now. We need to change that.
Okay, Greg Lopez, let's go to break because I want to talk about our children and their education. We're talking with Greg Lopez, candidate for Colorado Governor 2022. In studio is his communications director, Laura Hyatt. And I do prescribe some chicken soup for you, Greg, to get over that that cold. But we're going to go to break. Before we do that, though, another sponsor of the show is Castlegate Knife and Tool. They are located right here in Sedalia, Colorado. And they have knives from the best blade makers from throughout the world. And in fact, I got some gifts from Castlegate Knife and Tool for Christmas and just really thrilled about that. So thank you. And let's go to break. And when we come back, we'll continue the conversation with Greg Lopez and Laura Hyatt.
Life is more than what we have in the bank. Mary Alpers and Steve Cruz with Three Points Financial understand that comprehensive financial planning is an important component for each individual to thrive and prosper. Three Points Financial provides tax, investment, and retirement planning so that you can achieve your financial independence. With so much public policy uncertainty, it is important to have the professionals at Three Points Financial working for you to navigate those uncharted waters. Check out ThreePointsFinancial.com to schedule your initial consultation to achieve your financial freedom. That's ThreePointsFinancial.com.
Would you have ever dreamed that freedom of speech, freedom of thought, freedom of assembly, and freedom of religion would be under assault and attack in America? Unbelievably, it is happening right before our eyes. That is why it is important to keep free-thinking, independent voices on the airwaves, the internet, and social media. Kim Munson is one of those important voices. Help her keep independence alive. Go to KimMunson.com to contribute, to join Kim in the battle of ideas raging in America today. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. In studio with me is Laura Hyatt. She's the communications director for the Greg Lopez Governor's Campaign 2022. It's great having you here.
Still great to be here. I love coming here in the morning.
And it's good to have you. And Greg Lopez was going to be in studio, but he's got the common cold. And so he's on the line. Greg, next thing I want to get to is the education of our children. And there are some silver linings to this whole COVID-19 thing that happened. And that is that parents started to see what their kids were being taught. And they're like, wait a minute. And what I've seen, and I'm so concerned about, is the over-sexualization of our children with this sex ed curriculum that is being pushed out there. And then also the dumbing down of our kids with, instead of focusing on reading, writing, arithmetic, science, critical thinking, all those things, we also have this whole CRT, this critical race theory. So between the over-sexualization of our kids, which is taking school time, and CRT, which is taking school time, our kids are falling behind, Greg.
They are, Kim. And look, you know, the educational system has lost its focus. It's lost its mission. It no longer truly understands that their job is to make sure that they educate our children to be good contributors to society, to be able to live, you know, in our society and contribute in a positive manner. They're not there to become social advocates. They're there to learn and to be able to solve problems, right? I mean, they're supposed to be our future leaders. And we're not doing them a service by teaching them this CRT or this sex education. I totally agree with you. You know, this whole sex education that they're teaching, I'm telling people it's porn. This is not education. No. This is not the things that our children should be learning. And so you're right. Parents are waking up, and thank God that the parents are doing that, because you know what? Parents are responsible for the education and well-being of their children. Government is not. And I'm going to make sure as governor that the school boards have more authority and more power over the curriculum that they're going to be allowing in their schools, because that's where it belongs. government should not be telling them that they should be teaching a specific course. You know, this is something that really is dear to my heart because, you know, us parents, we usually tell our children when they go to school, what do we tell them? Behave, listen to your teacher, mm-hmm. do your homework, don't cause any problems, you know, not knowing that what the teachers are teaching them. But now that COVID-19 came out, I'm so glad that people and parents are realizing our school systems are no longer about educating our kids. We got to get back to that because when you look at the numbers of proficiency of reading for fourth graders, it's dismal. You know, the most that you can expect is 34% of the fourth graders are proficient. What does that tell you? That tells you that 66% are not. But nobody wants to talk about that.
Well, and we're letting our kids down when we let this happen. I want to shift gears a little bit, Greg, and that is, first of all, you mentioned Governor Polis. You feel like he's made some good decisions here on this whole Boulder County fire, and he's going to be front and center on many, many different headlines because this is such a tragic thing that has happened. What I found interesting, I really feel he has very good handlers regarding putting their finger in the wind and kind of trying to figure out where people stand on particular issues. And I find it remarkable that he is trying to paint himself as a libertarian, which that would imply that people would have less government, people have more control of their own lives. As we look at his policies, particularly during his whole COVID reaction, it is anything but libertarian. How will you and Laura address this? And I'll just mention a couple of things that Patty put together here as he's gone on this libertarian narrative. He says, remember all those highway signs? You know, stay home. Save somebody.
Yep.
Remember the dad that was in the park with his family and was arrested? Yep. He actually has changed some of the executive order. He recently said that it wasn't government's role to, I think, do mandates, but yet he hasn't rolled anything back with all of these different health departments. Mm-hmm. It's a difficult thing, Greg. How are you going to address that?
Well, look, the way you address it, you tell the truth. Remember, This is the governor that told us in the very beginning, just wear a damn mask. He said that. This is the same governor that told the kids, just take the vaccine and don't tell your parents. Just do it. Mm-hmm. So we got to remind people that, you know what, this is what you would truly
consider. That's not libertarian.
This is an individual that's totally looking at his goal is to get reelected. And he will say whatever he needs to say. He will do whatever he needs to do because he is not interested in being governor. He wants to be president. And you ask him, I dare anybody to ask him if he wants to be president. And I bet you he's going to say, I'm not going to take that off the table because that's where he wants to go. Look, people are smart. I have faith in the people. I have faith in the voters. You know, he's expecting us to forget. He's expecting us to think, you know what, they can't remember 3 months ago. Let's just tell them whatever it is we want to tell them, and they'll believe us. Well, I'm going to be the voice that says, no, let's go back, and let's go back and make sure that everybody remembers what you said, what you did, because actions speak louder than words. You can say whatever you want to say, but your actions speak louder than your words, and you're not a libertarian. You know, you're more of a tyrant because it's proven that way. And what I need is just people to be reminding each other, this is what he did to us. This is how he shut down over 600,000 small businesses overnight with a stroke of a pen, and 40% of them will never open again. They're gone just because he decided that it was important to shut down the entire state. You know, when he was saying that he was saving lives, I'm here to tell everybody he was destroying families. He was destroying families, and his solutions were not in the best interest of Colorado. His solutions were the best interest of the so-called science that everybody still is questioning whether the science is even accurate or not. So that's what we got to do, is remind people.
Well, Greg Lopez, and I need to make sure that I say this. Any candidate that reaches out to me, I will put them on the show because I want people to know our candidates. I appreciate you joining us today. We've got about a minute left, Greg. How can people help you? What's, you know, just give people more information.
Look, this is the people of Colorado have a choice to make. We either going to make a change or we're going to have more of the same. So if you like what happened in the last 4 years with Governor Polis, then clearly you're going to keep that vote there. But if you want to change, if you want a governor that truly understands your challenges and your the things that you have to deal with every single day, then you need to vote for Greg Lopez. You need to go to Lopez2022.com, follow my website, make a contribution. You know, it's important for us to make a change in Colorado because we know what the last 4 years brought us, and we can only tell you what the next 4 years is going to bring us under the Governor Polis's administration. People are ready for a change. They're ready for a new direction, and I'm going to bring it to Colorado because we all matter. We are all essential, and I truly believe that every family has a right to live the Colorado dream. That's what a governor focuses in on.
Well, Greg Lopez, that's Lopez2022.com. Laura Hyatt, Communications Director for the Lopez Campaign. It's been great having you in studio.
Yes, thank you. It's been great.
Okay. And again, what's that website?
Lopez2022.com.
Okay, great. Thanks so much, Greg. And our quote for today is from Betty White. She said, "It's your outlook on life that counts. If you take yourself lightly and don't take yourself too seriously, pretty soon you can find the humor in our everyday lives. And sometimes it can be a lifesaver." So my friends, today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you, and God bless America.
Twisting, turning further from my home. Young, like a new